up by our PSU intern to really make that a more robust grant proposal.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. All right. Anyone wish to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
All right, unless there's additional council discussion. Carla, would you please call the vote?
Fish?
Thank you for an excellent presentation. Aye.
Saltzman?
Thank you for the good job. I want to thank our PSU Masters in Urban Regional Planning students for your excellent assistance, and it's I appreciate how you've incorporated equity. I want to thank the Bureau for that and thank Amy True in my office for really helping the Bureau to come up with ways to approach these grants with equity in mind. And great job. We'll look forward to next year's awards. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
As a parent with three children at Markham Elementary School, I wrote one of the first grants that was funded by this program, the Community Watershed Education Project at Markham Elementary, which is the only Title I school on the west side. So I think it's important when you're looking at your demographics to recognize that there are sub-communities within wider communities. That was one of the first things I did in civic engagement in addition to subdivisions. And we had a trip to the Bull Run Watershed, courtesy of the Water Bureau, and all of us learned about the wonders of the watershed. We had tutors come in and teach us about benthic macroinvertebrates, which translates to bugs that live in water. And we purchased water quality testing equipment, which I subsequently passed on to Jackson Elementary School after I was done with the Friends of Arnold Creek. So we had, I forget whether it was a $3,000 or a $3,500 grant that we won. We also got the other one from Metro for a total of $7,500 from government funding, which we purveyed into a $28,000 project with a lot of volunteer donation and corporate donations and other things that taught a lot of parents and students at Markham Elementary about creating a community courtyard garden where there was grass before. And so I have personal experience about how this helped me begin to learn about being a good steward of our environment, being a good steward of our city, and how just that little bit of money can be magnified into things that continue to ripple. So thank you, Mayor Adams, who did support this program while you were in charge of environmental services, Commissioner Saltzman, who has consistently supported it, Dean Marriott, and indeed Jennifer Devlin, who was part of that process back 15 years ago, and you've been a wonderful cheerleader and supporter to those who have written the grants as well as carefully administering the program and helping to look at those wild and wacky things that, in fact, you never know where they're going to lead. And so this is, in fact, a way that our government can support innovation in neighborhoods. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. With that amount of money, with the careful documentation that's required, it educates us all as to what works and what doesn't. So thank you so much. Thank you for the student work that you've done. Aye.
Adams.
Again, thank you. Great presentation. Great work. Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 809?
Authorized collection agreement with the Mount Hood National Forest to fund administrative steps in the Bull Run land exchange process.
Commissioner Randy Leonard.
Thank you, Mayor Adams. This is the next step in the process that we've been working on for some years to exchange property with the federal government up in the Bull Run watershed so that it has more logical connection to the water delivery system for the city of Portland and the federal government's land holdings has more consistency with what they do. So Eddie Campbell from the Water Bureau is here to give us specifics.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and Council. As Commissioner Leonard indicated, I'm Edward Campbell, Resource Protection and Planning Director for the Water Bureau. In February, the Council approved an agreement between the Water Bureau and the Mount Hood National Forest to proceed with the formal federal land exchange process pertaining to approximately 5,000 acres of land within the Bull Run watershed. The purpose of the land exchange from the city standpoint, as Commissioner Leonard alluded to, is the consolidation of the city's land holdings around our two reservoirs within the watershed. This in turn would greatly simplify the permitting and administrative processes that we go through with the federal government. And that in turn would result in significant time and fiscal savings to the city. An example I mentioned in February was that of our Portland Hydro Project number 1. It's currently on federal lands. we would anticipate that eventually we would be accruing $500,000 a year in benefit to the general fund if we're successful in transferring ownership of those federal lands to the city. So those are the types of examples of things that we anticipate benefiting the city as a result of the land exchange. The item that's before the council today is the actual collection agreement between the Water Bureau and the Mount Hood National Forest. This agreement is a mechanism that allows us to transfer funds to the Mount Hood National Forest to carry out the administrative steps as we go through this formal federal process. The funding that we're providing to the Forest Service is limited to just the Mount Hood National Forest. Any actions that are necessary by the regional office or headquarters or other aspects of the federal government are supplied by the federal government. So we're limited in what it is that we're paying for. Total estimated funds that we estimate paying out over the next 3 years is just under $250,000. And that breaks down to about $60,000 in the current fiscal year, about $104,000 in fiscal year 10-11, and about $84,000 in fiscal year 11-12. And then finally, we're very cognizant of the council's concern about overuse of emergency ordinances. The reason that we brought this one forward as an emergency ordinance is that we do have funds that were budgeted in the current fiscal year that we would like to apply to this. And by the time we actually came to agreement with the Forest Service around the cost, we didn't have time to go through the normal approval process to actually allocate our funds in the current fiscal year to this project. So that is the reason why we brought this forward as an emergency ordinance. And that's all of my comments. I'm available for questions.
Commissioner Fritz.
So what was the holdup between February and now that you weren't able to come to agreement?
Basically, it was just ascertaining the exact cost from the Forest Service as to the staff time that would be involved on their part to be able to fund, to come up with an accurate amount for the funding.
And I do appreciate that the final amount you've come to is less than the lower limit even than of the estimate, so that's a good thing. What would happen, though, if I didn't vote for it? It wouldn't pass. So what would be the consequence of that?
Right.
It would pass, but not as an emergency.
That's correct. So we would essentially, the amount that we have budgeted in this year, which is about $60,000, we would need to budget in future years we'd have to increase the amounts that we would budget in future years to accommodate that, because we would lose the ability to spend the dollars that we have in our current fiscal year for this purpose.
Doesn't Water Bureau, money that's left over in the Water Bureau, doesn't that go back into your contingency? Isn't that where we're getting this money from anyway?
Yeah, I guess we have an assumption of an amount of contingency that we have from year to year. And I'm not in the fiscal management side of things, but basically what we're told within the Water Bureau is that allocations that are made in a current year, there's not an assumption that you can roll those funds over and have them available for that specific purpose in the next year, that those contingency funds go to cover cost across the Bureau. So maybe there would be additional contingency funds that would not require us to need to charge for additional funds in the future years, but it's not a guarantee. And so if those contingency funds are necessary for any other purpose, the funds are essentially gone, and then we would need to collect more money to backfill. So I guess it's not absolutely certain. We wouldn't know until the very end of the fiscal year whether or not the $60,000 that we have currently budgeted would be available to us in the future.
Well, I recognize that you're not the financial person, so I'll defer those questions till later. I did have a question about in the contract, there's $8,000 to the Oregonian. What's that for?
I believe, and I can confirm that with staff that we have here, I believe that's for advertising the public meetings that are associated with the NEPA process. Hold on 1 second, I can confirm that. Okay.
So actually, that's my next set of questions, because my understanding was that the cultural resource investigations, the preparation of the National Environment Protection Agency analysis, comes out of the Water Bureau budget, not through that agreement, this agreement.
That is correct. We would actually pay for the work directly, but the entity that is in charge of actually running the meetings and conducting the public process would still be the Forest Service. We had a very similar arrangement with the National Marine Fisheries Service when we did our Endangered Species Act Habitat Conservation Plan. The Water Bureau paid directly for the environmental impact statement, but it was NOAA Fisheries NIMFS that actually conducted the public processes, because it's ultimately their product, their work product.
So what is the proposed public process?
Well, it will follow the National Environmental Protection Act process. And so it's a formal federal process that includes notification in the Federal Register, as you've already noticed, advertisement in the Oregonian of various meetings. In addition to that, we would supplement that with notifications on our side, on the city side, to make sure stakeholders from the city side were aware of the federal process and were clued into how to participate.
And I'd like some more details on that, too, ongoing, because I'm very concerned about citizen participation. And we are familiar, citizens who are participating in this are very familiar with the environmental review process, which doesn't apply here. So I want to make sure, I'd like to see what the Water Bureau's plan for public engagement is moving forward on this project.
Sure.
I think that's all my questions. Thank you.
Any additional council discussion? Anyone here wish to testify on item 809?
No one signed up.
Okay, so this is an emergency. Please call the vote.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
I didn't support the original decision by council to do this in this manner. I appreciate the answers to the questions that I just heard. And as I said, I certainly appreciate the fact that the price was negotiated to be less than the lower limit of the previous estimate. And so for that reason, and as a courtesy to Commissioner Leonard, I'm willing to vote aye on this.
Adams.
Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for resolution item number 810?
Authorized city attorney to commence legal proceedings for franchise enforcement.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm pleased to ask the council to approve this resolution to commence legal proceedings for franchise enforcement. So far this year, this fiscal year, the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management, with legal assistance from the City Attorney's Office, have collected over $5 million in compliance revenue due to their pursuit of companies who are not paying the correct amount of fees to the city. With this resolution, cable office staff and the city's attorney's office will have the flexibility to pursue additional companies that owe the city money. Additionally, the resolution allows staff to participate in proceedings at the Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, where some of these companies are attempting to preempt local franchise fees and other local authority. It's difficult to underestimate or overstress the importance of this resolution. The assault on local authority is taking place at the FCC and the courts and very soon in Congress, so we need to give our staff the flexibility to protect the city's interest and move swiftly as these issues arise. I thank the mayor and the council for supporting the work of this office, which continues to reap benefits for the city year after year. Mary Beth Henry from the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management and Ben Walters from the City's Attorney's Office have worked very diligently on this and are available to give any further comments or answer any questions that you have. Mary Beth, did you want to say anything?
We don't have any formal presentation. We'd be happy to answer any questions.
Hearing none, anyone? Yes, hearing one.
So these are companies were commencing legal proceedings because they stopped paying franchise fees?
The resolution, Ben Walters for the City Attorney's Office, the resolution authorizes the City Attorney's Office to commence legal proceedings. There are ongoing discussions with the companies, and depending on how those discussions proceed, it may or may not be necessary to actually file the litigation. But this sets it up and so that we're teed up to proceed if things don't.
But they stopped paying franchise fees.
They have
that
stopped.
That's our position.
Yes.
As of 2 years ago.
Yes.
And I noticed just in looking at the memo that Commissioner Fritz, that David Olson wrote to Commissioner Fritz, none of these companies have business licenses?
Not current ones, no.
So are they still in business?
Well, two of the companies have claimed, Wiltel and FTV claim that their parent company, Level 3, is responsible for any relationship with the city of Portland.
So they may be paying business license fees as part of a consolidated unitary entity under the business license program. That's something that the cable office will work through with the department, with the Revenue Bureau.
You said two of the three, so what about the third one? What's
the third
excuse?
One, yeah, TCG Oregon has, they are in the audit that the Revenue Bureau is conducting on our behalf. They have refused to provide us with the data in order for us to determine what it is that is due and owing. So because they're refusing to provide us with documentation of their revenues, we need to seek legal action.
And then in your opinion, either one of you, these companies stop paying franchise fees, is this a business condition they're in, or is this a symbolic issue to them, much like we had to pursue Quest for many years to start paying franchise fees? In your opinion?
In my opinion, with TCG, it's probably closer to the Quest situation. With the other two, it may be more of a business situation.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any other discussion on this resolution? Anyone wish to testify?
No one signed up.
Can you please call the vote on a resolution, item 810?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, this is very important that we collect franchise fees from those who use public right-of-way. It's an important part of our general fund. I think it's the second largest source of our general fund revenue right now, behind property taxes. And I also do hope that we will work closely with the Revenue Bureau to determine whether these entities do in fact have valid business licenses, and if they do not, then we should also commence proceedings to collect business license fees from them as well. And I hope that that will be heeded, and I'm sure it will, given the two people I'm looking at across the table from me. And thanks, Commissioner Fritz, for your diligence on this, too. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you to the City Attorney's Office and the Cable Office for your diligent work seeking recalcitrant companies and making them pay what they owe, and also for your work on the global and national level with the FCC, and your work nationally is exemplary. Thank you so much. Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Can you please read the item, vote only, item number 811.
Authorize $373,550 for grant agreements with Center for Intercultural Organizing, Immigrant Refugee Community Organization, Latino Network, Native American Youth and Family Center, and Urban League of Portland for the Diversity and Civic Leadership Organizing Project for the period July 1, 2010 through June 30, 2012.
Please call the vote.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 11 approved. Can you please call the vote for 812?
Authorize $1,462,068 for grant agreements divided between five neighborhood district coalitions to support civic participation services for neighborhood associations and individuals within their target areas from July 1, 2010 through June 30, 2015.
Please call the vote.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye.
Mayor, before we adjourn, may I request a point of personal privilege?
Sure.
Seek my colleague's indulgence for 1 minute. When I came into the chambers this morning, Mayor Adams asked me if I was supporting Holland for the World Cup. And while I did have a poster of Johan Cruyff on my dorm because of the orange colors, but, right. And my staff are also wondering whether I've deserted my beloved Ducks to become a Beaver. In fact, yesterday my son Maxwell graduated from Princeton University. I was in New Jersey at this time yesterday, and I've never seen so much orange in all of my life. I'm mentioning this to tell our audience at home how very good our Portland public schools are in all of our districts, and that they are still graduating students who can compete and exceed with the best in the country, and also to express my gratitude to the staff at Markham Elementary, Jackson Middle School, and Wilson High School, particularly Avril Monroe and Jean Cascara at Markham, Sherry Kleiman and Michael Lang at Jackson, and Melissa Johnston and Bill Bowley at Wilson, who were mentors and teachers for Maxwell and helped him to represent our city proudly at the graduation yesterday. Thank you for letting me. Thank you for letting me be the proud mom for an occasion.
Yeah. Yay. We are adjourned for the week.
Thank you.
You bet. Congratulations.